May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Ooh, it's a sticky one, the Transfiguration, isn't it? If you listen to the Exodus reading, you'll see that after 6 days, Moses met with God on the mountain. And of course, the New Testament reading starts off with, after 6 days. And you're meant to draw a parallel. Matthew's Gospel is full of an attempt by the writer to show that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament stuff. So in all the birth stories, it kept saying, this happened in order to fulfill what was said by the prophet. So in Matthew's Gospel, he's trying to say that Jesus is everything that's been foretold in the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of the expectations of all of the Jewish people. All our hopes and dreams are realized in Jesus. That's what Matthew's trying to say. And he goes to great lengths to do this throughout his gospel. And this little episode here, he shows Jesus meeting with Moses and Elijah, two of these great figures from the Old Testament, there on the mountain with Jesus. And that's meant to say to the reader, look, Jesus is really important. He meets with Moses and Elijah. He's with them. This shows that Jesus is the Messiah who was promised and foretold in all the scriptures. So the Transfiguration, is all about Jesus. That's what the Transfiguration is about. It's a very difficult passage. We don't really know what happens. It says at the end of Matthew that when they came down from the mountain, Jesus said not to tell anyone what they'd seen. And the word seen is what they had a vision of. What kind of vision was it? What actually happened? We just don't know. It's beyond our wildest dreams. We've got no idea. But what is important is that this is a key episode because Jesus is revealed to his disciples as being the Son of God. And those words that were spoken to Jesus at his baptism are now spoken to the disciples. And they're told Jesus is the real deal. It's all about Jesus. And the presence of Elijah and Moses are significant in affirming that Jesus is the fulfillment of the hopes and dreams of all that had gone before. Of course, it's also important for us too. It's a bit of a problem when you live in Bedford that there are no mountains. You can't go up the mountain, can you? It's funny because when Sam and I went up in his helicopter, we came out of Cranfield, and you look over to the left and you see Bedford, and it's completely flat. It's flat as a pancake, isn't it, Sam? Completely flat. And it's so flat you can just see for miles. You can practically see Grafham from Cranfield. It's so flat, there's nothing in the way. There's some mountains further down, though, aren't there? I don't know what they are.
Downs.
That's the Downs. Okay. They're not really mountains, they're the Downs. Well, you can see that, but that's all you can see is that there's nothing between the Downs and miles and miles up. When we lived on the Wirral, you could go to the Welsh Mountains, or you could go to the Lake District. In fact, if you carried on from Liverpool, it's mountains all the way, really. But here, there's no mountains that we can go up. And I suppose it's a little bit like that, isn't it, really? We want mountains. And spiritually, we want mountains. We want to be able to go up and have these mountaintop experiences, these reassurances of our faith. And of course, seldom do we get them. And I was kind of thinking in the sermon, I want a vision too. But actually, it's not about us having visions. That's not what the Transfiguration story is about at all. It's about understanding who Jesus is. That's what it's about. It's not about God telling us we should have these wonderful ups and downs and you have highs and lows in life and all the rest of it. It's about understanding who Jesus is. It's all about Jesus. And when Ophelia and Elizabeth are baptized this morning, we talk about them being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's really significant because the church had to decide who was Jesus. And the church came out with this affirmation that Jesus was God. Let's look at partnership news. Because I meant to do a slide for you this morning, and I didn't. But if you go to partnership news, and you turn, can you see the little fish in the middle of partnership news? The little fish in the partnership news. Still got them on bumper stickers on people's cars. Have you still got one on your car, Wendy?
Yes.
Yeah. If you look there, you've got, I've actually said, the five letters spelling out fish in Greek. What the Christians used to have these fish on their doors and stuff, and they still have them on their cars. And the Greek word for fish is ichthys. Ichthys. And you can see of these five words, I is Jesus, Jesus. The CH, ik, is Christus, Christ. Theos is God. Huios, Son. Soter, Saviour. Now, this is a very early symbol of the Christian faith. And ichthus, that word, put together, really proclaims who the early Christians believed Jesus to be. The Christ, the promised one from the Old Testament, that's what Matthew's doing this morning. God, God. Not just a great teacher, not just a wise man, not just a prophet. God. Huios, the Son of God, given to us, born in flesh. It's been said that Jesus is God with skin on. The traditional theology talks about God incarnate, in flesh. Jesus is God, like a little God, a little version of God that we can see with our own eyes what God is like. And our Saviour. I'm sorry I didn't put the word ichthys in there. That's an omission. I should have made it a bit longer, Sam, this commentary this morning. But see ichthys there in those words. This is really, really important for us. Because we won't have mountaintop visionary experiences. But we are called to see what Jesus is like. We're called to know him and to see him in his life. One of the most wonderful passages of scripture that shows this is the episode in the boat on the lake where Jesus is asleep in the boat in the storm. Do you remember? The disciples are going across the lake. A storm comes up and Jesus is asleep. He's exhausted and he's tired, like any one of us would be after a long, hard time of work. And it shows his humanity that he just collapses and he's exhausted. But the disciples are really, really afraid in the storm. And they go and they wake him up and they say, Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. And Jesus stills the storm. And in that boat and in that episode, you see the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ most clearly displayed. And it's remarkable and it's wonderful that God can give us, in the life of Christ, his appearance on earth. Christians don't believe that other religions don't have important truths. Christians don't believe that God doesn't reveal himself in other religions. But what we do say most powerfully is that God reveals himself uniquely in the person of Jesus. And the transfiguration today is all about opening our eyes to see Jesus and what he is like. And what he tells us about God. And this is the really big deal. You look at Jesus and you see God laying down his life for us. And do you remember that wonderful phrase that Jesus used? No greater love has any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus goes and he dies. And what Jesus is saying is that God loves us so much that he's prepared to die for us. And it's a remarkable and wonderful truth. And if Jesus is God, as he claims to be, and if Jesus is prepared to die for us, if God is prepared to die for us and call us his friends, what a remarkable thing that is. To think that God calls us his friends and is willing to lay down his life for us. It's truly remarkable. And we listen to the teachings of Jesus. And you see him, you talk about that poor father and that miserable wretch of a son who goes and spends all the family inheritance and he comes crawling back. And you think, you know, what a worthless, wretched child. And Jesus tells us that the father runs out and greets him and welcomes him with open arms. And Jesus is saying, God is like that to us. And you think of, you know, you think of of that wonderful, those wonderful jokes about knocking on heaven's door, you know, and can I come in? And Peter says, da, 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 da. The picture Jesus has is that you don't knock on the door. God comes running out to meet you. And that is absolutely remarkable. And it turns all our expectations of God on their head. Completely on their head. God running out of the gate to greet us. That's what Jesus tells us God is like. And Jesus is God, so he knows. And we see the love of God poured out for us. Poured out for us on the cross. Where Jesus shows God's love for each one of us. For me, the remarkable thing about the disciples is that when Jesus was alive, they were quite a disappointment, really. You know, they were a worthless bunch. When he got arrested, they all ran away and deserted him and left him and couldn't care. But after Jesus died, they were completely different. From becoming, you know, a pretty worthless bunch, all of a sudden they gave their lives, literally, you know, they were martyred. And Christians went to crucifixions and all kinds of horrible deaths because they knew Christ's risen life. They knew Christ's risen life. They didn't need to go up mountains. They didn't need to have visionary experiences. They knew Christ in their hearts. You know, we sang that hymn, which is I Watch the Sunrise. It's now in Singing the Faith, which is quite interesting. I think the chorus is lovely. Because it says, but you are always close to me, following all my ways. That's a given. And we know that to be true. It's realizing that. May I be always close to you. May I recognize your presence with me. And those early Christians, they knew Christ's presence to be with them. No matter what they went through, no matter what difficulties lay ahead, even through the persecutions that the Roman Empire put upon them. And to finish, this is it. The same Jesus who walked around teaching and challenging our ideas about God, the same Jesus who died on that cross, the same Jesus who proclaimed God's love for the entire world, that same Jesus is alive and we can follow him and know him today. And he shows us what God is like and offers us God's forgiveness. And Jesus still changes lives today as he changed them then. And it's wonderful. And if we take Jesus to our hearts, God's presence is alive in us. Making sense of this very strange world in which we live. And showing that our seemingly worthless and transient lives really are very important to God. It's the life, death and resurrection of Jesus which gives meaning to our own lives. And reassures us that all life created by God is really, really important, sacred, and precious. At the Transfiguration, Jesus makes this appearance to his disciples. And it's the same Jesus who still reveals himself and manifests God to us today. Amen.